So, if you have your Bibles, turn with me, please, to the first Psalm. The first Psalm. And I want to begin by saying that in December, as I was praying about the year 2019, the Lord just kept bringing me back to this Psalm over and over and over again. Now, I have to say this because this has also been on my heart lately. It seems like every year, right after Christmas or even at the beginning of December or even at Thanksgiving sometimes, people start making declarations about the new year. And so for 2019, I have so far heard it's a time for faith and favor, which is Pastor Carter preached two message segments on that. It's absolutely true. We absolutely believe that God's going to give favor to His church and His people in these last days. And incidentally, on YouTube and on my Connect site, you will be able to watch both of His messages where He nails it what the Holy Spirit told Him. And the Holy Spirit speaks to multiplied people. And so I've also heard things like this is going to be the year for a fresh wind. This is going to be the year you make it. This is going to be the year that you have victory and all of these type of things. And there is somewhat of a biblical basis for a year, the head of a year declaration. But you have to understand that the years didn't start in January for the children of Israel. And you have to also understand, under New Covenant theology and the New Testament times that we're living in, you have to understand that we should cling to these promises, all of them that you hear every year in January, we should cling to them every day of every year of our entire lives, because the Word of God is not constrained by time. Okay, so I understand where people are coming from. I've done it. We've had the year of this and the year of that, and it's all good. But I try not to format my messages in that way. And every time I prayed about 2019, the Lord kept bringing me back to this scripture right here in Psalm 1. Now, bear with me tonight because, as I said, I've been a little under the weather for the entire month, basically. And after the message tonight, I'm going to bring you some more announcements on our newest projects, because I did not go into detail earlier. I'm going to go into a little more detail after the program. So please bear with us, hang with us as long as you can. And really, you might as well just stay till the end of the program. We're going to be out of here about 9:10 or so. And so stay with us, and we'll get all of this in. We've got a couple of great songs for the end and also the announcements. In Psalm 1, let's read the entire psalm, and then I want to focus our attention on a few particular areas of the psalm. Okay, so Psalm 1, "Blessed is the man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor standeth in the way of sinners, nor sitteth in the seat of the scornful. But his delight is in the law of the Lord, and in his law doth he meditate day and night. And he shall be like a tree planted by the rivers of water, that bringeth forth his fruit in his season. His leaf also shall not wither, and whatsoever he doeth shall prosper. The ungodly are not so, but are like the chaff which the wind driveth away. Therefore the ungodly shall not stand in the judgment, nor sinners in the congregation of the righteous. For the Lord knoweth the way of the righteous, but the way of the ungodly shall perish." As we look at what's taking place in our country and in our world today, as we start this brand new year of 2019, and we see the turmoil and the unrest, and we see probably at no other time in my lifetime, at least I don't believe so, I've never seen the animosity and the hatred toward the things of God that I'm seeing in the day and age that we're living in. So we have a battle formation arrayed against us. And one of the things that I was prompted to think about today as we considered a question in a conversation, why are people so angry at Donald Trump? This goes so much deeper than well, I'm a Democrat or I'm a Republican and he's not in my party or he wasn't my choice. It goes so much deeper than that. And I believe I heard the whisper of the Holy Spirit in my heart, and it said to me this, and I didn't hear an audible voice, okay, it's in my heart, but Donald Trump, just not too long ago, declared Jerusalem, hallelujah to God, to be the capital of Israel. And so I believe that really ticked the devil off, and I don't believe he sent a little old principality or power. I believe it's very possible that Satan is angered personally and he is addressing himself to this presidency personally. As President Trump, God bless him, has stirred up all of the powers of hell against him simply because he acknowledged God's chosen people. Now that's just a thought. That's not my message tonight, so that's free. But that's what I believe. And among other things that are at stake in our country today, you can be sure of this, that if you are a supporter of Donald Trump, or if you're a Christian, maybe you don't support him, but you voted for him because the alternative was to vote for the evil one. And so you maybe at that time, but here's what you need to know, is that you need to pray for this man every single day that he is in office, because there's so much at stake in our country and in our world right now. And as it relates to Psalm 1, the first thing I want to address myself to tonight is that this psalm and the psalmist contrasts the way of the godly with the way of the ungodly. So he's addressing two different subjects and groups of people here. He addresses the godly and he addresses the ungodly. Now let me say this. Last year we did some teaching on the book of Psalms where we looked at some verses and looked at some places in the Word of God besides the Psalms, where we understand that the book of Psalms really has three major applications to it. In reality, there are many applications in all of the Word of God. But in the Psalms particularly, the first application is the author. Most of the Psalms were written by David, but not all of them. Moses wrote some Psalms and others wrote some Psalms. But the first application is to the author. The Holy Spirit gave the Word of God as He moved upon the holy men of old. And they wrote it down, what He said. This Bible is 100% infallibly God's holy word. The Bible doesn't contain the Word of God. It is the Word of God. And the second application, which really comes first, I'll let you think about that. It really comes first. We talked about this pretty extensively last year. I don't have time tonight to go all through that again, but let me say this. Is Jesus Christ. When we look and we read these Psalms, Bible theologians and scholars all the way back to the early church have postulated that these are the very thoughts, emotions, and feelings of the Lord Jesus Christ when He walked upon the earth. Now that'll change the way you look at Psalms when you understand that the Psalms are about Christ. And the third application, the Psalms are applicable to every believer. And there's a specific reason why, and it's found in verse 1, where it says, "Blessed is the man." In the literal Hebrew, it really reads, "Oh, the benefits of the man." The Hebrew, it has a definite article in front of it, "the man," and it's singular and masculine, focusing on one particular man as the ideal and the representative of the godly. Wow, you think about that. Blessed is the man. Blessed is the man. Who is the man? And of course we understand that, you know, God cannot really bless humanity. And I know that sounds strange to some of you, but hear me out. God really doesn't bless Len Paxton for Len Paxton's sake. God doesn't really bless you just simply for your sake. God blesses Jesus Christ. This psalm, the very opening phrase, blessed is the man. Remember, Hebrew, definite article, singular, masculine, one particular man as the ideal for all of us and the representative of all of us who are godly. And you and I partake of his blessings by being in Christ. Hallelujah. You know, man has sinned. Man has fallen. And so when God looks at humanity, if you are not washed in the blood of Christ, if you're not born again, when God sees you, he sees you standing there in all of your sin and in all of your filth and in all of your wickedness. But the minute you accept, or I like to say it this way, the minute you receive Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, then when God looks at you, he doesn't see you. He sees Christ. You see, Christ is the blessed man. Christ is the blessed man. And as we are in him, then we get to partake of the blessings that he paid for with his shed blood on the cross of Calvary 2,000 years ago, my friends. And it's available to every man who will say yes to Christ. Every person who will receive Jesus, every person that will put their faith in Christ and him crucified. Blessed is the man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor standeth in the way of sinners. And that doesn't mean, you know, you're in their way, you're trying to stop them from sinning. No, it means that you're found hanging out on their path. It means you're walking, if you're walking the same road that the unregenerate walk, you've got a problem. And that's why it's so wrong for a Christian to remain in bondage to the sins that they were in bondage to before they got saved. It's wrong. It's wrong for that Christian to have that social drink. It's wrong. It's wrong for that Christian to go to that filthy, ungodly movie. It's wrong. You don't hear that preached nowadays because we've just accepted everything. But the Word of God is still true. And the Bible still says to come out from among them and be ye separate, saith the Lord of hosts, and I will receive you unto myself. The implication is that if we don't come out from among them and be separated unto God, that he will not receive us. There'd be no point in making that statement unless that inference can be deduced from that statement. So blessed is the man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor standeth in the way of sinners, nor sitteth in the seat of the scornful. And I'm just going to say one quick statement about that portion of Scripture right there. It is wrong, 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 wrong for Christians to violently, vocally, or any other way, voice their opposition to a human being on the basis of human being to human being. We can oppose what people do. We can say it's wrong. We can say we don't like it. But when we begin to act like the world, we have just gotten over into that way of the sinner, that path of the sinner. So it shouldn't be any such thing as Christians cussing people out on social media. Even if you don't agree with some of the things that you see. You know, if I mentioned everything that I saw that I don't agree with, I would be in controversy all of the time. I'm in enough trouble just for preaching the truth. I don't need to create my own drama by trying to live other folks' lives for them. But I will preach the truth of the Word of God. And I will stand on the truth of the Word of God until the very day that I breathe my last breath upon planet Earth. Amen. And then it says in verse 2. Well, let me say another thing. Where it says here that where it talks about he doesn't walk in the counsel of the ungodly or stand in the way or sitteth in the seat. When it uses that terminology, it refers to his separation. Now, this is Christ. And therefore, it's every believer, or it should be, it's supposed to be. It's his separation from the mindset and the practices of the wicked, which are represented by those who are ungodly. Those who refuse to acknowledge God. Sinners refers to the fact that it's anyone who misses the mark of God's law. And the scornful are those who treat God with contempt. And I've got to say it, and some of you might get mad at me, and Spreaker Radio, you might not like what I'm about to say right now. But I'm going to tell you this, that little woman who stood up in the Virginia legislature just a couple of days ago and proposed a bill that would make it legal to perform an abortion even at the moment of birth, you are treating God with contempt and with scorn. You are disdaining human life. And the judgment of God is going to fall upon you and upon this nation if we keep passing stupid and ridiculous bills such as that. And the same thing goes for you folks in New York that celebrated over the latest abortion bill there. You ought to be ashamed of yourself. Your cheeks should burn red with shame as you scorn the very God that created you and loved you enough to send His Son, Jesus, to bleed and die on the cross of Calvary to save your miserable soul. That's a little harsh. I understand it. But this is the type of stuff that we're going to see coming out of the woodwork. The Lord promised all who shall live godly in Christ Jesus shall suffer persecution. And if you don't believe it, you just turn on the nightly news, my friend. You turn on the nightly news, and you'll see the worst and the most atrocious scorning of God Almighty. It says, His delight, the godly man's delight, Jesus' delight is in the law of God. And remember now, that belongs to us too. That should be us too. Because we are in Christ. And the phrase, the law of the Lord here, simply is used as a general word that refers to the entirety of God's Word. Because we know as Christians that we don't live under the law anymore. We are to approach our relationship with God under the new covenant of faith and grace. We approach our living for the Lord with a change of heart rather than going by the letter of the law. Scripture says the letter killeth, but the Spirit giveth life. So the term law, as we would understand it, and even here it didn't refer to the law of Moses alone, it referred to the incorporated body of the text of God's Word that they had at the time. And it says in that Word of God He meditates day and night. In the Hebrew, that means to concentrate and to think consciously about the Word of God. And this, in the day of the children of Israel, was... excuse me. You have to bear with me. I've had a real bad cold this month. During the time of the children of Israel, during the time of David and others in the Old Testament, this was the ideal that was set and the standard for every leader and every king of the nation. And you can look at it in Deuteronomy 17, verses 18 and 19, and Joshua 1 and 8. This was the standard. So I thank God for our president, who, he may not be a polished Christian and he does not do everything perfectly, but he investigates matters to see what is best for America. That's a whole lot better than what we had before. That's a whole lot better than what we had before. Then it says, let's back up and read it real quickly. Blessed is the man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly, standeth in the way of sinners, nor sitteth in the seat of the scornful. But his delight is in the law of the Lord, and in his law doth he meditate day and night. And he shall be like a tree planted by the rivers of water. And I want to look at that because It's planted and replanted. And there's a reason that it is. And here's the reason. It's so simple, but yet you don't see it many times. If, in order for us who have fallen, in order for the lost sons and daughters of Adam's fallen race to be transplanted anywhere, they have to be in Christ. Christ was planted, and He transplants us. That's the imagery that's being used here. We are transplanted. In other words, if you go into the nuts and the bolts of this, we are taken from one sphere and placed into another. Now here's why that's important. Because we are to be different than this world. This world that murders its own children will face the wrath and the judgment of a holy God. This world where men want to marry men and women want to marry women will experience the wrath and the judgment of a holy God. And here's the thing about that, and I could go on and on and on. We don't want to take up time and just name sins. You know what I'm talking about. But here's the point I want to make in addressing this. You and I live here too. If you're a believer tonight and you're serving Jesus and you love Him with all of your heart and you're not perfect and sometimes you fail, but you love the Lord and you love His Word and you want to do the right thing, we live here too. And if judgment comes, we're going to be affected by it. But here's what you've got to know. You are not under the wrath of God if your sins are under the blood. I don't care what comes on this nation. I don't care what happens. If you are a Christian born again that loves the Lord with all of your heart, you are not under His wrath. You may be affected by the judgments. You might be affected by what this world is doing. But you are the treasure in the treasure house of God. The Bible says that He will make out of you His jewels. And you need to understand that because that's what we're facing in the day and age in which we're living. The world is going to face the consequences. The ungodly will face the consequences of the decisions that they have made that are against God. But you, though in the area, and though you will be affected by some of these judgments, whether they're selective judgments or all-out judgment, it will affect every one of us. But you have to know that you know that you know that you know that you are a child of God. He loves you, and you are forgiven if you're under the blood. And you need to just let that sink in there for a minute. We have been brought from one sphere into another. I drink all the liquor I want to drink. I just don't want to drink any. Why? Because I've been taken from one sphere into another. I tell all the dirty jokes I want to tell, but I don't want to tell any. Because I've been taken from one sphere and placed into another. How? By faith. By faith. By faith in the shed blood of Christ. I once was under the bondage of the enemy. I was once an enemy of God. I was once lost and undone without God or His Son. But no longer. Because now He has taken me by His Holy Spirit because of my faith in Jesus Christ, and He has taken me from one sphere and He has placed me in another. Praise God for that word right there. And that all of this is brought out in the Hebrew wording of this first psalm. Praise God. Next it says, He shall be like a tree planted by the rivers of water. Now I want you to understand that in the days of ancient Israel, irrigation ditches were dug for the transplant to be placed or close by so that they had access to the water that the plant would need or the tree would need. In this case, they're talking about a tree to grow properly. Oh, listen to me. Rivers of water especially in the Old Testament, often refers to the Holy Ghost. What's it telling you? It's telling you that if you are in Christ, if you partake of the blessings of this Christ, if you are in Christ, if you are washed in the blood, if you are born again, if you are saved, then the Holy Spirit of God has already made provision for your entire spiritual growth. He's already got everything you need. He's already guaranteed the fact that if you will keep your faith in Christ, you will grow as a Christian, even in the midst of persecution, even in an ungodly day, even in an ungodly nation, you will grow. The water of refreshing and growth of the Holy Spirit is there available to you. Praise God. Check out Proverbs 11:30, Proverbs 31:16, Proverbs 31:31, Isaiah 4:2 through 3 and 5:1 through 7 and 27:6. Check out John 15:5 and Romans 6:22. I know you didn't get all that, but it'll be on the download. These images of trees, flowing water, and fruit are allusions back to the Garden of Eden. Oh, you got to let that sink in. You got to grab a hold of that. The way it was before the fall, that's the way Christ has taken us. That's what Jesus is doing for us, to restore to us everything that was lost in the fall. Now, here's where I've got to say this, and this is something that's going to get me in trouble, so I'm ready for it. I hope you are too. Praise God. A few years ago, a guy wrote a book. It was a big book, very popular in the Christian world. And the title of the book was Your Best Life Now. But the only problem with that is it's unscriptural. Because according to the Word of God, according to the Bible, everywhere we look in the pages of this book, we are strangers. We are aliens. We are foreigners about to perish. We are on a journey. For our best life comes later. We walk by faith now so that we can walk by sight later. And so, what is not being talked about here as we go to the final portion of this verse, in just a little bit, where it says, whatsoever he doeth shall prosper. It's not talking about prosperity according to the world's definition. The world's definition, you know, I got to get stuff, I got to get money, I got to do this, I got to have it, I got to have everything I want, I got to get it as soon as I want it. That's the economy of this fallen world, and that's not what it's referring to. You see, there's nothing wrong with prosperity. If it's godly prosperity, and if we understand and see these things from the perspective of eternity, which is how God views all of it, the benefits that are most important to us as Christians is that we're planted, we're transplanted, we're taken from one sphere into another. We have the Holy Spirit who has made preparation for us to grow as Christians. It's often a picture of good works. The good works that man would have done had man not fallen. That's what Christ is here to foster. And even though good works by no means save you, can't never save you, won't save you, good works will be the natural outgrowth of your life if you are in Christ, under the blood, and seeing life from the perspective of eternity. Now listen as we read. Be like a tree planted by the rivers of water, bringing forth his fruit in his season. His leaf also shall not wither. You are going to need to know in the day and age in which we live how to maintain an eternal perspective so that your leaf does not wither. Because I'm telling you right now, the heat of the day is going to beat down upon it. The opposition is going to continue against the Word of God, not only in this nation, but around the world. Persecution's going to come. Lawsuits are going to come. Many things are going to happen in these last days. And your leaf will not wither. If you can capture this, what we're trying to picture for you, I'm doing it badly, I'm sure, of the eternal perspective of God and how that He sees the godly versus the ungodly as it pertains to life and to all of these things that we're speaking of. Let's go on a little bit further. His leaf shall not wither, and whatsoever he doeth shall prosper. We've touched on that already. The ungodly are not so, but are like the chaff which the wind driveth away. The word chaff means unstable and worthless, easily blown away. And so if you want to take a position, this is, I'm just going to be blunt. I've been blunt this far tonight. Maybe I can get a witness from somebody out there. I don't know, but I'm just going to say it, okay? I never could understand how a Christian could vote for a party or a candidate that advocates the murder of the unborn, that advocates the fundamental changing of America, and that advocates same-sex marriage. I never understood how you could call yourself a Christian and vote for that party or that candidate. See, if you are intent on walking in the path of the ungodly and standing in the way with them and scorning the Word of God, if you're content on doing that, you can literally be judged as unstable and worthless and easily blown away. But see, today, it is wrong to tell people they are behaving in a worthless manner. Today, in modern times, we have to reward losers equal to winners, or we have a bunch of pouting crybabies on our hands. And sadly, that's what our nation has degenerated to. It's just a bunch of pouting crybabies that will bawl and squall and bellow against anything they don't like or agree with, or that doesn't agree with them. That's why when you look back to this election when it took place, and you go to visit the college campuses of our nation and see their cry rooms and see where they go to color for therapy because a certain person got elected president that they didn't like and that doesn't agree with their open sin and rebellion against the Word of God. And if you do not see life as you are living it from an eternal perspective, you're going to come up against so much opposition that you could very well be in danger. You have got to know where you stand, and you have got to know this book, and you've got to pray and ask the Holy Ghost for grace in your life to tell the truth and to stand for the truth. You've got to pray for the graces of God that you will need to live as a Christian in the times that we are living in. So let me move right along a little bit more. The ungodly are not so, but are like the chaff which the wind driveth away. Therefore the ungodly shall not stand in the judgment. That doesn't mean they're not going to go there. It means they're going to get knocked off their feet when they get to the judgment of God. Doesn't mean they're not going to have judgment. That's a popular lie in certain sections of the modern church nowadays, is that God's already done judgment, and it was at the cross. Well, God's judged everybody at the cross who's believed in Christ and received Him as their Lord and Savior, yes. Then your judgment was delivered to Christ upon the cross. But for those who refuse Christ, who reject Christ, their judgment's going to come to them. And what this phraseology in the King James Version of the Bible means, when it says they shall not stand in the judgment, it means that the judgment of God is going to knock them off their feet. They're going to be knocked down, they're going to be judged guilty, and they're going to go to hell. And here is something that we have to touch on in order to get this point across. And I don't know how else to say it, but just say it. I don't preach the Word of God the way I preach the Word of God because I want to be better than anybody else. I don't preach the Word of God because I feel like I'm better than anyone else. I don't use the Word of God as a bludgeon or a weapon against people who are doing wrong. The motivation for what we preach has got to be the love of God in our hearts that constrains us. Shikalabaha. that constrains us in this day. That word constrain is a crushing word. It's like putting us in a vice. Oh, Jesus. It's like putting us in a vice that we've got to preach this because people are dying and going to hell. And if you're going to stand behind that sacred desk and preach this gospel, you had better be motivated by the love of God. Don't preach this gospel to hate people. Don't preach this gospel because you think you're better than other people. Preach this gospel because they are eternal souls that will burn in a fiery devil's hell. Not for a week, not for a year, not for a decade, not even for a century, but they will burn there forever and forever and forever. And if I know the truth, and if I possess the roadmap to heaven, how can I do anything but share that truth and that roadmap with this wicked world in which we live? Praise God, praise God, praise God. The ungodly will not be vindicated by God. They will be condemned. Read it again in Psalm 130, verse 3. And in our final verse, and I've got to wrap this up. I'll tell you, I didn't cut much off the studio edition that I did today. A little bit. I'm a little bit ahead of this afternoon's message. And once again, both of these messages are going to be available on our podcast, The Old Time Power, on Podbean and in iTunes, in just a few days. Our final verse, verse 6. For the Lord knoweth the way of the righteous, but the way of the ungodly shall perish. That's what we're talking about here today. I don't know what some Christians are doing today. Playing church, I guess. Oh, I'm going to go to church, and I'm going to get a good feeling, and I'm going to get a pep talk. But their neighbor goes to hell. Because they're too busy, preoccupied, whatever the case might be, to walk over there across the street and share the gospel with that neighbor. It ain't right. It ain't right, folks. If you're a Christian, you got to let the whole world know about the Jesus you serve. You got to let the whole world know about the Jesus that saved your soul. And you might not have a platform, but God will give you a platform. He'll give it to you to where you can share with one neighbor at a time, if that's what it takes. One family member at a time, if that's what it takes. But you got to tell somebody what Jesus has done for you and means to you in your life. The word knoweth is the sense of intimate knowledge and loving care. He knows the way of the righteous. He knows the way of the righteous. Why? Because Jesus Christ is the definite article, righteous. And we are in Christ. Now, hey, can you actually think for one moment that you would ever be described as the righteous apart from Christ? I'm going to say again what I said at the beginning of this message. God doesn't bless humanity. God doesn't bless Len Paxton for the sake of Len Paxton. God doesn't bless you for the sake of you. God blesses one man. Blessed is the man. Remember, Hebrew, it's definite article, it's singular, it's singular, and it is masculine, there it is, that's the word I'm looking for, focusing on one particular man as the representative of the godly. Who is that? Jesus Christ. The Lord knoweth the way of Jesus Christ. He is the righteous. The scripture even says, Jesus Christ, the righteous. And any righteousness that you or I have is to be found in Him. In Him. I'm not righteous because I don't drink beer anymore. I'm not righteous because I don't cuss anymore. I'm not righteous because of anything I do or don't do. I am righteous because I am in Christ. I have received His shed blood to wash the sins away from my life. And let me tell you this, repentance and living a life of repentance doesn't end your first trip to the cross. Repentance is the lifestyle of the true believer. So every time the Holy Spirit puts His hand on a thing in my life, I engage in that act of repentance. And that releases the power of the Holy Spirit to make me the man that Jesus wants me to be. Can I get a witness from somebody out there? Amen. We are seeing this in a fresh and a new way here tonight. So that's the way of the righteous, but the way of the ungodly, and this is a way that they have chosen by unbelieving and by being impenitent people, will prove to be a path to ruin. They shall perish. And I want to wrap it up by basically giving you 2 points. I'm going to name off some scripture for later when you get the download or the CD or however you hear it. People that hear this in the future, here's what we go. Number one, because of this man Christ Jesus that the psalmist is referring to, and because by faith we are placed into Christ, believers should be the happiest of all people on the face of planet Earth. Even in the face of persecution, even in the face of all that we have got to face yet in this day, we have got to be understood to know that we are in Jesus, we are in Christ, and therefore we have more joy, we have more happiness, should have. Doesn't mean we won't face problems, because we will. Anybody that tells you that if you become a Christian you'll never have another problem, they're lying to you. You're going to have problems just like the world does. But the difference is, we know God. We know His wonderful love. We know His covenant promises. We know His abundant pardon. We know God's strong comfort in our lives. We know His abiding presence. We have sorrows, but we don't have a reason to be miserable. Although tempted to enjoy the company and pleasures of worldly people at times, God's grace makes believers different from them and allows us to derive our enjoyment from Scripture and from the Holy Spirit and from ministering to those. Amen? So we don't isolate ourselves from them. We don't isolate ourselves from the ungodly. We minister to the ungodly with the grace of God that He has shed abroad in our hearts and the mighty love of the Holy Spirit in our hearts. God's grace makes us different. God's grace makes us different. If it were not for the grace of God, you and I would be walking the same path to hell that we were before we met the Master. Praise God, praise God. We derive our enjoyment from Scripture, from the Holy Spirit, from ministering to the needs of the ungodly, which promotes holiness in us. On Judgment Day, we will escape the wrath of God and discover how much God has watched over us in love all of our days. And I'll ask you this question. How does that encourage you to follow Christ? Maybe in a more powerful or a more fresh and vibrant way in 2019. And the second point, Christ is supremely the man who is blessed, or as we titled the message, the blessed man. Christ is the blessed man. He is the ideal king who is separated from sinners. Read Hebrews 7, verse 26. He's engaged always in the keeping of the Word of God. Accordingly, he becomes like a fruitful and flourishing tree nurtured by the Holy Spirit. This is Jesus. Read Isaiah 11, verses 1 and 2. And we are in Christ, so we become fruitful and flourishing because we are nurtured by the Holy Spirit. Full of good works. Read Isaiah 4, 2 and Acts 10, 38. That's what Jesus was. He was full of good works. If you are in Christ, you're going to be full of good works as well. Born in you, birthed in you by the Holy Spirit of God. Hallelujah. In union with Christ by a Spirit-worked faith in our hearts, we too can become fruitful out of the fullness of Christ. The fruit comes. Jesus said, "You are the vine, I am the branch." No, He said, "You are the branches, I am the vine." I'm a little dyslexic there sometimes. I got that backwards. But the vine is where all the good stuff runs through. That's Jesus. That's what Jesus is. Jesus doesn't merely have all this goodness. That's who and what He is. And when we're attached to Him, it flows into us. And let me tell you something as I close. Man is a very complex creature. There are layers and layers and layers of the fall that the Holy Spirit has to strip away from us. And it doesn't happen overnight. Every day of the longest day of your life, you are in a warfare in this process of you being conformed to the image of Christ. Every day, the longest day that you live, you're in a process. It's called sanctification. There's two kinds of sanctification. I'm only going to mention this briefly and move right along. One, you are positionally sanctified already. Your position is in Christ, and that position doesn't change. It is by faith. Then there also is conditional or progressive sanctification. And your condition is somewhat greatly less than your position. I mean, not too many of us act like Christ all the time. Not too many of us always do the right thing. So the Holy Spirit is at work in our lives to bring our condition to the level of our position. And I'm going to say this, even though I believe and preach and teach that a Christian can have total victory 100% over sin, I will say this. Your condition will never fully arrive at your position until you get to glory. But that's the process you're in every day of your life. Is the Holy Spirit is working on you, conforming you into the image of Jesus, conforming you into the image of His dear Son. Amen? Hallelujah. So let me leave you with this tonight. If you want to know what God is requiring of you in 2019, it really isn't much different, if any, than it was in 2018, 2017, 2016, so on and so forth. You are to put your faith in Christ and Him crucified. You are to believe His promises, and you're to let the Holy Spirit develop this eternal perspective in your heart and life as you journey forward with the Lord from this time and forevermore. Amen.